Trends in Multimedia Signal Processing. I'm Phil Chow. I'm the chair of the MMSPTC, so I get to be the moderator today. We have three panelists. They are all from the subcommittee on technical directions in our TC. Their responsibility is to look forward at new trends to make sure that our TC remains relevant and vital. Francesco Di Natale is the chair of that committee. He's professor of telecommunications at the University of Trento. His interests are in media retrieval and video analysis for behavior understanding. And among other things, he was technical co-chair of ISIP 2005 in Genoa, Italy. And since 2009, he's been coordinating a large European project on media retrieval. Eckhard Steinbach is a full professor in the Department of Electrical Engineering and Information Technology at the Technical University of Munich. His interests are in the areas of audiovisual haptic information processing and communication, as well as networked and other and interactive multimedia systems. And among other things, he was technical program co-chair for our workshop, the MMSP workshop held in Saint-Malo, France last year. And then Enrico Maggi is associate professor in the Department of Electronics in the Politecnico di Torino in Italy. His interests are in compressed sensing, remote sensing, error resilience coding, distributed source coding, and security for images and video. And among other things, he is technical co-chair of the International Conference on Multimedia and Expo, ICME, 2012 in Melbourne, Australia. So the important thing about a panel, in my opinion, is to get audience participation. So we will leave some time for sure to have you interact with the panelists and poke them. So prepare your questions and figure out which panelists you want to address. But I did want to cover some basic ground, so I've asked each of them to speak for just about 6 minutes maximum each on some of the things that are compelling to them individually, and then we'll get to your questions. So without further ado, let's go on to Francesco.
The time is very short, so I will have time just to quickly introduce some ideas. But before that, I want to tell you that the general idea that is behind this presentation, that is information communication technologies, but in particular multimedia, are more and more cross-disciplinary, and this is probably the more evident trend of the last years. Interdisciplinary doesn't mean just between disciplines of ICT, but also with the disciplines that we are not used to deal with. So, for example, psychology or social sciences or cognitive sciences, and we should be aware that the more we create links and synapses between these different fields, the more we can be innovative in the future, also in our relevant fields. And I will give you some hints about this. The first one, referring to the field of media search and retrieval, we know that the signal processing community was able to provide great advances in the last years, providing, for example, good descriptors for describing images, videos, music and so on, and also models, ways, matrix to match data and so on and so forth. But the semantic there is that we need much more effort in the future if we want to solve the problem. And looking at the most recent research in the field, we can see that the answer can be found looking also to research fields which are near to us or even not so near to us and involve, for example, the representation of knowledge. So, for example, how to represent the context which is well known to be one of the possibilities to enrich the knowledge about data, but still there are no reliable models for doing that. Social knowledge, many people is working on exploiting the knowledge contained in social media, for example, in social networks to gain information about data. But again, no ultimate solution is available in this field. And we hope that applying this kind of concepts to the current techniques and modifying, so introducing more complex and more sophisticated models taking into account this kind of information can allow solving problems like scalability, so dealing with tera media sources of information like the internet, and also dealing with diversity, so being able not just to find near duplicates or similar images, but also images or videos or music that represent the concept we are searching in a very diversified and complete way. Application include media search in general and other fields like, for example, mobile search and things like that. Here is just some example. I don't have the time to come into detail about all of this. Just let me make some advertisement. As Phil said, we have a very large European project that is dealing with these problems. If you visit the site www.glocalproject.eu, you can find additional information about this. Another field of interest where interdisciplinarity can be really the way of boosting the performance of current system is that of ambient intelligence, or more recently also called ambient awareness or cognitive environments, and so on and so forth. Also in this field, we have a lot of information available. We have that can capture from the environment much more information than the information that humans can even perceive when staying in the environment. But all this information is not able to cover the gap between the knowledge that we have of the world and the knowledge that the system can have of the world. Again, what kind of problems are open and can be explored in this field? For example, interaction between people, not just understanding activities, for example, but understanding behaviors, understanding the behaviors that are involving more than one person, so for example, social aspects and so on. Understanding emotion, sentiments, opinion of the people, and this implies, of course, making a big step forward also in the definition of models of interactions, of behaviors, and so on. We are more or less at the end, so I skip the example and I go to the last point, which is interfacing. Interfacing is the last mile, so we have to fill the gap between applications, which are often very sophisticated, and the user. And also in this case, there are a number of opportunities, for example, for designing interfaces which are contactless, are natural, are accessible and usable, and can provide also access to application in a complex environment, outdoor environment, and so on. We are covering the gap to more and more complex system, but the problem is still there. And I have to close. What's next? Look at the problems in the different light. The problems are still there, but the way of looking at the problem is changing from time.
Sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry to rush you. The time is not long.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Yeah, I want to add two trends to this discussion. Is of course my very biased personal opinion that these are two current trends. So the first one addresses our quest for immersive communication. And if you look at the past years, we've seen tremendous progress in the area of telepresence system. And this progress was mainly driven by advances in display and capturing devices, highly efficient audio-video coding, and the ever-increasing bandwidth of our communication networks. But if you look at these conversational services that we run over these telepresence systems, although we consider them to be bidirectional, In fact, if you look at the actual audio-visual data communication, it's really only unidirectional. Yeah, whatever information flows from left to right here and from right to left is more or less unrelated. So what I argue here is that truly immersive communication requires that we are not only able to be present in a remote environment, but also that we are able to physically interact with objects or other people in this environment. And this we can only augment the traditional auditory and visual modalities by the haptic modality, which addresses our sense of touch. Right? Picture here, the situation changes quite dramatically now, because now the forward path and the backward path are no longer independent. Whatever information you send in one direction here has a direct impact on the information that flows back to you, because the two paths are coupled through the environment or through the human. And there's many associated, and I would say that the MMSP community is in a very good position to address these challenges. And just to give you a few areas that might be interesting for you to look at is, let's develop an MP3 for haptics, yeah, something that is exploiting the perceptual limitations of human haptic perception rather than what we are used to in audio and video. Let's define objective quality metrics, something that is today virtually inexisting in haptic communications. Let's look at the recording and playback of a physical interaction session, something that is fundamentally different from the easy recording and replay of audio and video, which has to do with the coupling of the two paths. And other topics we are very, very familiar with, like error control, error resiliency, etc., and apply them to the area of haptic communications. The second trend I would like to mention here is mobile visual localization. So basically the idea to recover your location from images or video that you capture from a mobile device that is equipped with a camera. And I would say the most promising approach in this case is to infer your location by retrieving the most similar image from a geotagged reference database. So it boils down to a content-based image retrieval problem. Now you might say content-based image retrieval is something that has been studied extensively during the past 20 years. So what is it that the MMSP community could contribute to that field? Yeah? So let's take a more system perspective here. A standard way of running such a system would be you extract salient features on your mobile terminal, you might compress them, you upload them on a server farm in the network, you perform the actual image retrieval step on the server farm using, for instance, the back of visual words approach, and then you return your location estimate to the mobile terminal. But if you look at this system perspective with a round trip time, with the upload of compressed features, uplink capacity is typically quite constrained, and the processing that is involved here, we probably will never be able to get this running at video frame rate and retrieve your location at 25 hertz per second. So I think this community here could reconsider this system perspective and basically reconsider the question, what process should run at which point? Yeah, what is happening on the mobile terminal? What is happening in the network? And what type of information is exchanged between the two to eventually be able to get this visual localization running at video frame rate? The other challenge that is associated with that, which is also would be interesting to look at for the MMSP community, is that normally the query image that you have, that you capture, and the corresponding that you use for retrieving your location, they can be visually very different. And just to illustrate that, Georg Schott, who's sitting here in the audience, also recorded these two panoramas outside of our campus. And if you look at these images, what you see is there's shadows, there's cars, there's pedestrians. They are typically sparse away. You have a mobile device, so there might be motion blur. The query image and the reference data might be recorded at different seasons, one in winter, one in spring. Buildings undergo renovation. Advertisements in the scene might change. So the two images that match actually might be very, very dissimilar in most parts, and you have to focus on the really similar parts to find that. Now, browsing quickly through the program here, I could only, within the MMSP sessions, I could identify already four papers that address this issue. Two going to be this afternoon in the MMSP L2 session, and two already were presented yesterday. So I would say there's actually currently quite some activity in this area. And with this, I go back to Phil.
Thank you, Eckhart.
I'm Good morning. So my presentation will be mostly focused on multimedia delivery. I tried to make a list of all the important aspects of multimedia delivery, and it turns out that the list is impressive because multimedia delivery actually spans several different application domains and technology domains. So we have HEVC for the signal representations and network coding and cross-layer optimization for communication and networking, and HTTP and RTP for streaming several networks and several applications. So for today, I a couple of interesting things, and so what I'll be talking about is mainly cooperation via peer-to-peer networking and heterogeneity using handling of heterogeneity using HTTP streaming. So peer-to-peer has been around for some time now. It essentially relates to exchanging information in a cooperative way using logical network connections that are built on top of the physical network connections. And a strong trend that I'm seeing here that is going to significantly improve peer-to-peer performance is the design of better overlays. So if you look at the example on the left, for example, typically the construction of an overlay is completely unaware of the underlying network topology, and so a peer might be connected to another peer on the other side of the world, and this increases delay and decreases the performance, while it would be possible to use geographic information to connect peers that are close to each other in order to reduce the number of hops. So that obviously improves the performance, and this is a very important thing, and there are ongoing standardization efforts on that. There is the application layer traffic optimization, or ALTO in IETF, which is handling that. An ALTO server essentially is a database that takes as input a pair of peers and provides as output a set of metrics like bandwidth and delay that allow to estimate the actual geographical distance between the two servers, and there are more than this. Peer-to-peer also faces problems such as fairness, reputation, trust, and security. Some of those problems have found solution in the social networking area. And so I think an interesting trend integration of those social networking ideas into peer-to-peer systems in order to help solve such problems. Another important thing is, this is true for peer-to-peer but also non-peer-to-peer systems, future systems should look at context information about the user, such as the position, direction, and speed of the user, because that information essentially defines the kind of information or content that we are interested in at any given time. For example, if you're taking a train commute, we're not likely to be willing to watch a two-hour movie, but rather something like very short content. And that should be integrated in search engines as well in such a way that when we get a list of best matches for our query, those best matches are actually related to the current context of the user, not just general preferences. The other topic is HTTP streaming. So for a very long time, multimedia delivery research has been focused on the use of the RTP protocol over UDP. But then we had a proliferation of several different networks like WiMAX, 3.5G, Wi-Fi, and so on. And those networks are managed by different operators. That creates security problems. So we now have firewalls, and firewalls are very likely not going to let UDP packets go through. So this has given rise to a new wave of research on HTTP streaming, which is markedly different from RTP streaming, because in a typical streaming session, it is the server that pushes packets to the client, whereas in HTTP streaming, it is the client that pulls packets from the server. So that's very different, and it creates a host of new problems, including, for example, the handling of error control, which is not server-based anymore, but it's client-based. So there are several challenges related to HTTP streaming. One thing is that the HTTP streaming systems are not quite as good performance-wise yet with respect to conventional systems. And if someone proposes a new solution, it's not easy to demonstrate that it's better than the existing solutions because it's difficult to perform large-scale experiments on streaming systems. Since it's essentially a user system, there's a problem with multiple access where users are competing for the same bandwidth because every user wants to get the maximum share of the bandwidth, and this can create problems like fluctuation of the available bandwidth over time that has to be dealt with. And it also creates a new problem of cross-layer optimization where for the HTTP streaming area rather than the conventional RTP streaming. Also in this case, there are several standardization issues like the MPEG dash, for example, and if you're interested, it's a very nice paper which has been published a couple of months ago on IEEE Internet Computing that provides a nice introduction to this topic. So these are not things that are important. There are many more, and my colleagues have touched upon some of them. So mobile visual search. Regarding delivery, there are problems in multimedia applications over cloud computing and cognitive radio. There's a problem of quality of experience-driven multimedia delivery and many more. So that's just my biased opinion on the current trends. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. So now we come to the fun part. Thank you very much for your presentations. So I hope you've been preparing your questions and figured out who you want to address your questions to. Who would like to go first? You could step up to the microphone, or you could just raise your hand and shout. Mauro.
One of the challenges that you pointed out that is again found in all these applications is the semantic gap that has been there for a lot of times. And so I understand it's difficult to know whether in the future we can at least fill part of this gap. Someone thinks that social computing, so putting the humans in the loop, is a good way to solve this semantic gap. Do you have a view about that?
Is it addressed to anybody?
Any of them, because this is, a common problem.
Putting users in the loop for semantic understanding.
Well, there are already attempts to do that in many possible ways. So, in general, what I believe can be very useful is not to put single user in the loop, but the social, the possibility of exploiting all the information contained in social network is very promising in this field. There are attempts, of course. The big problem is how to get those data, because those data are not publicly available. Problems connected to privacy of the data, so you can get them just in aggregated form, but still there is a lot of information. For example, the possibility of using blogs or sites like Wikipedia, for example, that are put in relationship between things, and all those kind of information can be used in a statistical sense to enrich the knowledge about media in general and contents.
I don't know if you want to answer something.
Has anybody used Mechanical Turk to do any multimedia processing? No, that's one way to put humans in the loop, and I think I've seen some work in that direction. Other questions or comments?
Go ahead. Do you see significant differences in the quality of what is just perceptible, tolerable differences in haptic coding between normal and blind users? Because the blind users are presumably using their sense a lot more. And probably as more of us get used to haptic interfaces, our tolerances will also adapt, is the assumption.
Yes. You're perfectly right. There's lots of studies that show if people, you know, either are born blind, for instance, or later lose their sight, there's first of all a completely separate learning or adaptation process, and you rely a lot more than on your haptic feedback, for instance, for navigating in spaces or, you know, interacting with things. And of course, I think we're going to see that with our kids now as they grow up with all these touch displays, and in the gaming world, you have already haptic interfaces that allow you to sense force feedback, vibrations, etc. Of course, when you grow up with that, you're going to have a very different attitude towards these types of signals. Maybe for some of us, and I'm not sure how many of you in the room here have ever experienced haptic feedback, it's maybe not too many because we're all quite senior already, but for the young, it's very natural to have that in the gaming world, for instance. So, like, I guess it's always like this next generation is much better prepared to deal with these things than we are.
Great. Any other, some more questions? So I have one. So what is the state and direction of work in multimodal perception and its use in multimedia applications?
Maybe I can say a little bit on multimodal in the sense of audio, visual, and haptic. I guess what's been known, at least in the psychophysics world, is really that if you have the sense of touch also being addressed, it gives you a better degree of a feeling of togetherness. That's one thing. It gives you a higher degree of presence, so you feel more present in a virtual environment or in a real environment. But then there's also very strong cross-modal effects that you can exploit. There is situations where the human heavily relies on the visual input, and there are situations where the human heavily relies, for instance, on the sense of touch. And this really depends, even within one application, on the specific state you're in. And just to give you an idea, when you, for instance, approach in a virtual environment with a virtual end effector a surface, the whole tracking towards the surface is something the user does purely visual. But once you get in touch with the surface, then the visual feedback is no longer dominant, and experience the roughness and the elasticity and these kinds of characteristics of the surface then takes over. And if you would ask the human, how do you experience that environment now? He would say, now I'm haptically experiencing it. So even within one application, that can dramatically change from one time instant to another. And then there's also what's called multimodal integration or perceptual learning, where you basically learn to fuse different modalities at different levels. There's a very low-level sensing type of fusion that is happening, but then there's also at the decision level a kind of fusion where you say this particular, let's say, observation is valid on the visual, but I have a contradicting stimulus in the haptics, and then it's very interesting how the brain actually decides what is really then the perception you have. And this is something that is still ongoing research also in the neuropsychology domain, to find out it under which situation which of the different modalities is really dominant and might outweigh or combine with others.
Thank you. Other questions? Is anyone working in multimedia networking? No, nobody's transmitting media over networks? Cloud computing, anything? Okay, so no questions for Enrico.
Okay. I have to leave with that.
All right, I have another question. Wondering about what's on the horizon in terms of new sensors and also rendering devices that we ought to be aware of.
Well, regarding sensors, obviously there's been a lot of interest on compressed sensing recently. Compressed sensing allows signals using random projections, so that's a very simple and powerful way of representing signals. So that's potentially interesting in the area of sensor networks, for example, where your sensors are very power constrained. You cannot take many computations. Maybe you wouldn't even be able to perform the compression on the sensor because you don't have enough computational power. So in that area, for example, compressed sensing might help in constructing single pixel cameras, for example, that are much easier to handle in terms of data processing than conventional cameras. Much less samples, so much less memory, computational requirements, and so on.
And rendering, anything? New rendering devices? No. Okay, any final questions? This is your opportunity. All right, so we've gone for 30 minutes. I hope it's been of some interest to you. Thanks very much for attending.